We are set. All right. Welcome to Moedon Ivri, Club Hebrew. And we are on the fifth of the penitential psalms. We're making our way right through them. This is a good one, less known than the other ones, I think. The ones we've been going through so far have been pretty well known. This one is less known, but when I was reading it the other night, I was like, whoa, this is a powerful one. I'm just working in the first 15 in my commentary, so you know, these other ones I'm bracketing out. But it's a great psalm, and more complex Hebrew, as you will see when we get in it. But you will see again some of the same themes repeating themselves, and I think probably some of the same vocabulary. But he has an interesting way of expressing himself here in very vivid language that I want you guys to take a look at. So we're going to be in Psalm 102. Notice it's a longer psalm. There's 29 verses to it.
Did we finish the last one? Oh, we didn't, did we?
Yeah, and this one guy on the internet will kill me if I don't do that. Which one? Which one?
38.
On Psalm 38, the last.
22 and 23.
Oh, yeah, okay. Gosh, you guys are good. I forgot that totally. All right, let's go to Psalm 38, first of all, and finish these up for the sake of completeness. Verse 22. So just forget everything I said, and I'll repeat it again in 2 minutes. Yeah. Al tahasveni Yahweh Elohai al yirchak mimeni. Do not forsake me, O Lord. Again, notice the al plus the prefix verb from the call form azav, to forsake. Do not forsake me, O Lord. Notice the Masoretes divide the kola right there. They put the atnak after Yahweh. So it's do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, do not be far from me. Alright. Verse 23, Husha le ezrati Adonai teshuati. Husha is a call imperative from Hush. Means to hasten. I think it's a synonym with maher, and we'll see that later, maher. Hasten for my help. This is actually a noun, ezra, help. So hasten, and we would probably translate hasten to help me, but hasten to be my help. O Lord Adonai, my teshua is, notice you can see the root yashat to save, and again another noun, O my salvation or my rescue. All right. So again, notice how the faith of the psalmist rises to the top when we get to the second half of this psalm. All right. Good. Any questions on those two verses, man? I ripped right through them. All right. Let's get to 102. New soup, new dessert. That's what we got to do. Okay. Now, forget it. Well, just remember now. I want you to recall everything I just said, because we're going to start with verse 1. And you'll see again the vivid language that he uses. It's really good. Verse 1 is the title of the song, and notice it's a very different kind of title than we have seen before. It doesn't give a melody, and it doesn't give authorship, and any of the regular sign points. Okay, so, Tefillah le'ani ki ya'tov, ve'lifnei Yahweh yishpok sicho. Tefillah, notice it's called a tefillah, a prayer. There's a few psalms that are categorized as prayer. So this is specifically a prayer. Tefillah le'ani, for an afflicted one. Ani is an adjective, means afflicted. And so here it's used to refer to one under affliction. So a prayer for an afflicted one, or maybe by an afflicted one. Ki ya'atof. Ya'atof means to be faint. It's a call. Imperfect, and notice the patach is under the yud. Why? Does anyone know?
Sure.
Because of the guttural. So you get that change instead of a hirik under there. Okay, so a prayer for an afflicted one or by an afflicted one. See, the lamed is ambiguous. Normally the ki is interpreted in a temporal way. When he is faint. Alright, and before Yahweh. Yishpok, and before Yahweh, he pours out sicho, he pours out his siach, his complaint. He pours out his lament. So siach is the word for lament. So a prayer of an afflicted one, or by afflicted one, or for an afflicted one, when he is faint, and before Yahweh, he pours out his complaint. Alright? Very interesting title for the psalm. Any questions on verse 1?
Is there significance to the verb when he pours out? Is that
often coupled with complaining?
It can be. It's more often probably combined with something like blood or water. You pour out blood or you pour out water. But here, I mean, even in English, we have that same kind of idiom. It's kind of interesting how it transfers to pour out your complaint, to pour out. All right. I don't know if it's still a metaphor or if it's a dead metaphor by this time. Who knows? All right, good. Verse 2. Yahweh Shema Tefilati Veshav Ati Elekatavo. O Lord, hear my prayer. See that Shema word? It looks very unusual, but it's a simple call imperative. What's unusual about it? It has that hey at the end, which we've seen before, and it changes the pointing under it. So it has the hey like a jussive form might have, or cohorter form, I'm sorry. So, O Lord, hear my prayer, and remember I suggested that some grammarians think that the hey on an imperative functions to when is especially emphasized action directed for the speaker or in the interest of the speaker, which would certainly be the case here. So, O Lord, hear my prayer, and my cry to you, Tavo, may it come. So that is that famous line, O Lord, hear my prayer, and may my cry come to you. All right. Any questions on verse 2? All right. Al tas terpaneka mimeni beyon zarli. Do not hide. What conjugation is tas ter? Hifil, yeah, from satar, to hide. And in the Nifal, it means to hide oneself. Kind of intransitive, like I hid in the woods. But notice this is the hifil, so there's an object. Do not hide your face from me. That's one of the greatest fears of the prophets, but also the psalmist, that God would hide his face. See? And they interpret the ill fortune that comes their way as Yahweh angry, and he's hidden his face. So when your face is... those of you who had me for Psalms and Writings, I just read it again today in C.S. Lewis's The Weight of Glory. Have you ever read that? It's a great sermon that he preached, The Weight of Glory. And in that sermon, he talks about what kavod means. And in the midst of his discussion there, he reminds us in a very Lutheran way that God's face is either turned towards you or turned away from you. And he's either turned towards you in his grace and mercy, or he's turned away from you in this kind of terrible fear. But he says it as only C.S. Lewis can. And so notice that that's what the psalmist fears. Don't hide your face from me. In the day of trouble to me. All right. So in the day of my trouble, tsar, distress, from the root tsarar, to bind or to be bound. Right. Oh, I'm sorry, the last line. Hate elai ozneka beyom ekra maher aneni. Hate, what's the root? Very good. A hifil imperative from nata, to stretch or to incline. Incline to me your ear. In the day, ekra, in the day I call, notice the Masoretes have a rabia there for just a little pause. In the day I call, maher, hasten. Remember Husha in the previous psalm? Here's maher, the PL imperative. Hasten, aneni, answer me. Again, a call imperative. Notice how imperatives are juxtaposed to each other. So you have three imperatives in that last line. Incline to me your ear. In the day I call, hasten, help me. So notice when you pile up imperatives, it gives us a sense of his urgency, a sense of his desperation, just like in our language. See, if we're real desperate and we need help, you're going to call a lot of imperatives. Get over here, help me right now. See, quick, come. Stuff like that. All right, good. Any questions through verse 3? Yeah.
Do you think this word tsar, to bind, you know, from that trilateral,
trilateral
root, that has something to do with the word that they choose in the New Testament, phlipsis, you know, the pressure, kind of like the squeezing, you know, for
distress. Yeah, I think that that's a common translation of Septuagint for that. Mm-hmm. Same thing, yeah. Remember, there's a lot of words in the Psalms for when you're in trouble. The psalmists were in a lot of trouble a lot of times, so you got a lot of words for it. Right? If something's important, you use a lot of words, and tsar is one of those. And you'll see a lot of synonyms in the Psalms for it. And so, you know, the best English translation, sometimes it seems up in the air. Good, let's go to verse 4. Kikalu Ba'ashanyamai v'atzmotai kemoked nicharu. Here's where he gets kind of very vivid in his language. For they are ended. See the root there from kala? And the subject is yamai. For my days are ended ba'ashan, in smoke. My days have ended in smoke, or have ceased, or come to an end in smoke. What an image. And my bones, atzmotai, my bones, now the verb is at the end, nicharu. Okay, everybody look at that nicharu. That looks so strange because you have one of those double ein roots, which we all hate. It's from the root charar, and that means to be hot or to be scorched. This is a nifal form, nicharu. And of course the comets is under there because it's at the end of the verse, so you get the lengthening of the vowel, which makes it look really odd. See? So whenever you see a chaf followed by a resh, think charar or chara, something like anger, wrath, burning, okay, and then you're kind of probably going to be right. So this is a nifal form. So my bones are scorched or are burned up. Chemo, that's a you'll see this form often in poetry. It's the same, equals the preposition ke, cough. My bones like a cade. My bones like a furnace or a hearth, maybe a fireplace, are burned. What a vivid way to describe his own kind of physical suffering. So my days have ended in smoke and my bones, like a hearth, are scorched or burned. Okay, kind of think about that for a second. Questions through verse 4. Verse 5. Hukah ka'esev vayibash libi ki shakachti me'akol lachmi. You cannot listen to that rhyme. Hukah ka'esev vayibash libi ki shakachti me'akol lachmi. Alright, hukah. Look at that thing. This is a rare hafal form. Don't lose sleep over it. It's from the root naka, which you know is to strike or to smite. A lot of times occurs in the hifil. Here's the passive form. Hafal, perfect. So to smite, to be smitten. Okay, to be struck. And the subject comes way at the end. So you're already noticing a pattern here of subjects kind of coming at the end. Kind of interesting. So, like a eshev, like a bush or a plant, my heart has been struck. And yivash, that's a call, imperfect vav consecutive, from yavash, to dry up. So my heart has been struck like a plant and it has dried up. Okay?
So is that like suspenseful? You don't know the subject.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you don't know the subject. So it's kind of like when you're reading, the emphasis will fall on that because it's kind of what you're waiting for. Notice what it does in you as a reader is create a certain kind of anticipation. So, for they have ended, look at verse 4, for they have ended in smoke my days. So you see, it kind of, mentally what you do as a reader is you're anticipating when it comes, there's a little more force to it. That's kind of how I would explain what happens. And now notice, I mean, see the chiasm in that verse 4. So you're thinking of days, and my bones, see now you're anticipating the verb, yeah. And my bones, like a hearth, are scorched. See, I mean, it's just a way that you're, when you see a chiasm, you're organizing thoughts in a certain way and seeing what goes with what. So days and bones, you're kind of putting them together in your mind. So here, is struck like a bush. See, it's kind of interesting you put those together because you usually strike enemies or strike people, but is struck like a bush and has become dry. Libi, my heart. Okay? Notice ki doesn't have this logical because meaning here. Shakachti. I would translate this more asseveratively. I certainly have forgotten, or I've even forgotten, me akol achmi. As it's pointed in the Hebrew text, akol is an infinitive construct, and me would be what? Preposition min. And so it's unusual. I looked at it, and I couldn't find any more places where I forget to do something is shakach followed by a min. This is very unusual, and that's why you have in the footnotes another pointing for ma'akol as food. Food, my bread. If you go by the Hebrew, it's for I have forgotten to eat my food. I have even forgotten to eat my food. In other words, I would put the key as assertive or asseverative. I have even forgotten to eat. See, that's kind of what he's doing. So it's more an emotional reaction. All right, and he follows up on that in verse 6. All right, good. Any questions through 5? Good. Verse 6. Mikol anchati davkatz mi livsari. All right, from the sound of my groaning, anacha. Okay, from the sound of my groaning, cleaves my skeleton to my flesh. Again, you're putting strange images together. So you see this because of the groaning. See, because of the sound of my groaning, my bones have cleaved to my flesh. They don't go together easily. And so as a reader, you're forced to grapple with these kind of disparate images and putting them together. So notice what it does to the kind of groaning he's doing. He's kind of groaning so much that it's actually causing him physical wasting away. All right, and so you get this sense of a starving beggar on the street. In the New Testament, you have some of these lepers who are on the outside dying and needing attention. And so notice how he's picturing himself so vividly here. And we don't know what's going on in his life, but again, his physical distress is described as if it's some kind of disease or some kind of physical torment, right? We don't have, I don't think, any reference to enemies yet. Right. Verse 7. Damiti likat midbar hayiti kekos charavot. This is weird. I am like. See, the root here is dama, to be like. A call perfect. First common singular. I am like to a ke'ah. You know what a ke'ah is? A pelican. I'm like a pelican of the desert, midbar. A desert pelican. They must not be good. Maybe it means vulture or something. Maybe ka'a is better thought of as vulture. I don't know how animals match up to our terms, but that's kind of the common pelican. I am like a kos. Kos is another word for a bird, and it's usually translated as owl. I am like an owl of the charavot. Notice the ruined places, the dry places. Okay, so I guess he's thinking, of these birds, the desert dwellers that, just survive on the scarcest of anything.
Have you looked at the commentaries to see what, if it's like literally a pelican, then would it come to like the desolation? Like if he's a beggar, I mean, if I was a pelican in the desert, I probably wouldn't eat very much. But
right.
I don't know how literally, that's kind of a very...
Right, see again,
thing.
Yeah, I suppose that they're pretty accurate terms, but again, you don't know if... By pelican, it means our pelican, because I don't know all the species of birds. There is a book, Every Living Thing, that actually has all this stuff kind of categorized, and I didn't look at it to see. They actually have the species name, so they'd have ka'a here, and then species blah, 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 and what it kind of refers to and describe it. It's kind of an interesting work to see what they're talking about, because all kinds of flora and fauna are mentioned in the Bible. It's an attempt to try to match the biblical words to the plant life.
Does a pelican show up a lot?
This is not that... there's a number of places that...
Isn't it always like show up on bad things?
Yeah, usually. Yeah. These things... I mean, this is kind of a bad description,
like
this kind of thing.
Omen.
Yeah. I mean, it's prophetic. You see it. Bad omen.
Like our black cat.
Maybe. See, maybe, yeah, that's a good point. Maybe there's a reference here. Implicit is the understanding of... what happens when one of these birds show up. It's like, well, we see a vulture, you think, uh-oh, something's dead.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it is when you see these birds. Uh-oh. See? I don't know. Good. Verse 8. Shakati va'ehye ketzipor bodeir al gag. Shakad means to lie awake or to be awake, be watchful as you're kind of awake. So I... am awake, or I lie awake. Now notice how the Masoretes punctuate. Because really, ketzibor goes closely with eh, yeah, but as the Masoretes have divided the colon here, they want it kind of split. So I lie awake and I am. And then you stop. Ketzipor. Like a bird. Bodade is to be separate. That's just a call participle. Like a bird being separate on a Gog, on a roof. Gog is roof. All right. Very interesting language. So I don't know why the Masoretes put the Atnach there and don't put it after Zippur. They're following some tradition, and maybe it has to do with the type of psalm it is. Notice it would make the line very jagged. And I don't know if that's why they're doing it or not.
And maybe this sheds light on the meaning of the bird imagery in the prior verse. It's all about isolation.
Yeah. Maybe. But see, again, yeah, and again, if you stop after, yeah, notice how you're suspended as a reader, waiting. I lie awake and I am. See how right away, am what? See, you're begging for something to fill in the blank. Like a bird then finally kind of fills that anticipation. So he kind of does that through the way he's ordering his words. He's always making you wait. He's making you kind of anticipate, see? And so I'm wondering if that's part of the effect that the psalmist wants the psalm to have on you. Because, in a sense, the speaker is, quotes, waiting. You know, again, that's very speculative, so don't take that as gospel. All right. Any questions through verse 8? Yeah?
What aspect is this bodade?
That's a simple call participle from badad, to be alone or to be separate. So I am like a bird who is separate. So it would be function like a verb here, stative verb.
Stative verb.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Verse 9. Kol hayom cherfuni oivai. Here we have this other. See, this always happens. Meholalai be nishba'u. Okay, all day they reproach me. This is from Charaf, Cherpa. Okay, all day they reproach me. Oivai, my enemies. So notice how it goes from physical distress to enemies. So notice it makes you have this wider definition of enemies if you're reading along. Not just, well, here it seems like in some psalms, the enemy seems to be that distress, but here another external. So it's, the enemies are always in waiting, see? The enemies are always in view. So all day, my enemies reproach me. Meholalai, again, this is from the root halal, a polel participle, and it means to boast. So those who deride me or boast over me, so my deriders, then nishba'u, they swear by me. They utter a curse by me. So in other words, it's almost like my name has become a byword or a curse. And then that nishba is, of course, you have the nifal or the hifil of that root shava, either to swear in the nifal or to make someone swear, make someone take an oath in the hifil. All right, good. Questions through verse 9. Verse 10. Ki efer kalechem akalti veshikuvai biviki masakti. Okay, ki efer, for dust kalechem, as food, akalti I have eaten. Or I eat. So I eat dust as food. And shikuvai, you can, even if you've never seen that word, you can almost guess what it is. And my drink. Notice the root is shin, kaf, hay. But this is, if you look it up in absolute form without that suffix, it's shikui. Or shik, yeah. Okay? So, and my drink, bi-veki, with beki. The Hebrew root baka means to weep, and so beki means weeping. And my drink, with weeping, masakti, I mix. So again, I eat dust like bread, and I mix my drink with weeping. Okay? Wow. Now here we go again. Verse 11, we'll stop here, because notice where his turn, where the turn of his thoughts go. Mipnei zahamika vekitz peka ki nesatani vatashlikeni. Because of, see this mipnei? Because of zahamika, because of your wrath and ketzef, and your wrath. Okay? So notice, I eat all these things, I do all these things, here's the bottom line, because of your wrath and your wrath. It uses two synonyms for wrath. Because of your wrath and your anger. So notice how that pops into his mind, and it kind of comes back from verse 3, do not hide your face from me. So notice he's interpreting his experience as theologically. Yahweh's angry at him. So see the enemies, the pain that he's under. What? Why is this happening? Well, he has a theological reason. Yahweh is angry at him. All right. Key. Now notice here, for, or I would again translate this with a more assertive, for certainly you have lifted me up. See, nesatani, second masculine singular perfect call. Certainly you have lifted me up, vatashli keni, and you have thrown me down. Shalak. Hifil, vav, consecutive. So, because of your anger and your wrath, certainly you have lifted me up and cast me down. So again, you get this picture of someone hurling him and doing damage that way. All right. Any questions through verse 11? See how interesting the psalm is? It's very vivid and actually a very moving psalm. It'll be interesting to see where he takes it from here. Okay. All right. Very good. Thanks for coming, and we'll meet you next week.
Thank you.